earth, sky.
What I think I appreciate most about the LCROSS mission is how big science can be done on a small mission.
You're listening to Anthony Colaprete, principal investigator of NASA's LCROSS mission, and this is Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science. In October of 2009, scientists slammed the LCROSS spacecraft into the moon as part of an experiment that later confirmed the presence of water ice. Dr. Colaprete talked about the LCROSS findings and the future of science on Earth's moon with Earth Sky's Jorge Salazar.
Dr. Colaprete, welcome back to Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science.
Thank you.
Now, it's been about 10 months since the LCROSS mission impacted the moon in search of water. What are the main findings to date?
As we reported last November, we did find water. What we've been doing since then is really understanding what took place, the event itself. We have to understand the event to really help us interpret the results. So what we've found was the impact first resulted in a very hot wave of gases that emerged from the crater, about 1,000 degrees in temperature. And then that was followed by two ejecta curtains, not one but two. One was a low-angle curtain, that low angle with respect to the surface. It came out more flat. And one that was very high angle, one that almost came up vertically straight off the surface and rose to very high altitudes, 10 or 15 kilometers. So we now understand the dynamics, the total event in terms of what took place, when, and in what time frame. And then using that, we've interpreted the compositional data more accurately, have a better understanding of how much water ice did come out, and actually just the fact that water ice did come out. So last November, we reported on water. We didn't necessarily distinguish between water ice and water vapor, but now we're very satisfied that we've made a strong detection of water ice, which is really exciting because it says something about the concentrations within the crater. You need to have certain concentrations of molecules before you actually get crystalline water ice to form, and that's what we think we've seen. So that is one of the most fundamental discoveries, is that there's water ice. The other thing I think I can say is that the amount of water we seem to see in terms of the fraction of the dirt that's there seems to suggest that, to be consistent with other data sets, namely the neutron data sets, that indicates that the water is distributed non-uniformly, that it's in pockets. And it's that was one of the principal tests LCROSS wanted to explore, or things that LCROSS wanted to test, actually, is was the water uniform or was the water distributed in an uneven fashion? And I think what we can conclude now is that, at least in Cabeas, where we impacted, that the water is probably non-uniform. We don't really have any sense right now of the scales at which it's non-uniform, but that's what we're working on, and hopefully we'll be able to give some answers to going forward.
Yeah, I was hoping you might be able to maybe fit this, what LCROSS has done, into the big picture of scientists' understanding of water on the moon.
Sure. It's been a very active year for new information, new discoveries, and understanding of water on the moon. And I think we have as many questions, however, as we started out with, which is always a good indication you're doing the right science, more questions than answers. First, in October last year, we learned of the discovery of small amounts of water, either in the form of hydroxyl or adsorbed water on grains, and these were discoveries made by the M-cubed instrument on the Indian spacecraft Chandrayaan-1, as well as measurements from the Cassini spectrometer, as well as the Deep Impact spectrometer. These all showed that there was, in sunlit regions, because that's the only place they could look, water in small amounts, probably monolayers, so just layers of molecules along the grain surfaces. This isn't water ice. It's can't form water ice at those concentrations. You need many more molecules than just a few monolayers to actually form water ice. Then, later, after the LCROSS impact, we realized that there was water in Cabeas at much higher concentrations, factors of 100 perhaps or more. And as I've just mentioned, there's water ice there. So that suggests a certain concentration of water molecules that allows for the formation of water crystals. There are also been reports from the radar on Chandrayaan by Paul Spoutis that shows perhaps volumetric scattering of radar at the North Pole of the Moon. And to achieve volumetric radar scattering, you need very clean water ice and perhaps as much as 1 or 2 meters worth of it. So what we have is a range of distributions and concentrations and forms of water on the moon now. We have everything from monolayers, thin layers of water existing in sunlight, most likely associated with the solar wind, protons coming from the sun. We have higher concentrations of several percent, perhaps, in the L-Cross impact site in Cabeas. And then we have something that could be as much as a meter thick of relatively pure, 80% pure water ice in some craters at the North Pole. So we've went in the last 2 years, or last year, really, went from a moon that just had water that could be discussed in parts per million to water everywhere and of all forms and concentrations.
What are your thoughts about the future of lunar exploration right now?
We're not stopping here. NASA has got 3 missions planned or there at the moon that's going to continue these observations. The Lunar Reconnaissance Orbiter in orbit around moon now is going to move to a science mission directorate phase of its mission. So it's been in an exploration systems directorate phase that's basically supporting the exploration office within NASA. And starting in August of this year, it will be moving to a science directorate phase, which will last at least 2 years. In addition, there are 2 spacecraft called Artemis at the moon and very eccentric orbits around the moon. These are 2 spacecraft that were originally around Earth orbit, or in Earth orbit, part of a constellation of 5 satellites called Themis. And they've been diverted to the moon to study the space physics environment around the moon. In late 2012, the GRAIL spacecraft will launch, and that is a Discovery-class mission, which will study the gravity of the moon and unveil secrets of its interior. And in early 2013, the LADEE mission will be launched, which will study the lunar atmosphere, gases and dust above the surface of the moon. So in the 2012-2013 timeframe, it's very likely we will have 5 spacecraft orbiting the moon, studying the moon. So the exploration is certainly going to continue, and the science is going to continue. I think what we've found is that the moon is exceedingly dynamic, diverse, and interesting, both from a scientific standpoint, but potentially exceedingly important from an exploration standpoint.
Tell us more about what you mean by that and if that fits into using the moon, the resources on the moon, to help humans mm-hmm. explore space.
Yes, that's really is what I mean, not just the resources on the moon, but using the moon as a means to develop technologies, the means, the processes to by which we can explore elsewhere. Right now, we're reevaluating as an administration, NASA is, exactly how we're going to do this kind of exploration around the moon, around near-Earth objects, asteroids, and other bodies throughout the solar system. And the moon, as an airless body, very similar to those, could provide an excellent proving ground for missions to these objects, which take longer to get to. In terms of resources, I think what we found is that indeed at the poles of the moon there are sufficient resources to be important and should be planned for. And we're in the planning stages now. We've heard here at NLSI from Mike Wargo that there are plans to put together community teams to define exactly what the next robotic precursor mission should look like. So these are the next round of robotic missions to help us understand, either further understand resources on the moon or other bodies. But in terms of exploration, the moon is exceedingly well-suited to provide the expertise, the laboratory, if you will, to be the first step towards exploring the rest of the solar system.
You've been listening to Anthony Colaprete, Principal Investigator of the Lunar Crater Observation and Sensing Mission, or LCROSS mission. To subscribe to this and other free science interview podcasts, visit the subscribe page at earthsky.org. I'm Lindsay Patterson. Earth Sky is a clear voice for science.
We're at earthsky.org.